We praise your name because your word says, O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Thank you because we are gathered unto you. We are gathered unto the great I am, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Accept our thanks in Jesus' name.
Amen.
This morning, meet each and everyone at the point of their needs. Every cleverly concealed enemy that is cleverly stealing from your people, let them be exposed today. And as many people as are here this morning and they have a burden on their heart, let your power, which is able to lift burdens, lift the burdens away in the name of Jesus. I pray for special wisdom, retentive memory, supernatural success, uncommon breakthroughs for all those who have taken exams or who are taking exams. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Before you sit down, I'd like you to profess unto 10 persons. Make sure they are 10 in number. Make sure they are 10 in number. Look at somebody straight in there. Say, my friend, your problem shall become your promotion. In the name of Jesus. Say to 10 persons. Shout it loud, hallelujah. Let's have a seat. God bless you. This morning, I want to share with you a very strong key for success. And I call it the power of priority. What did I say? Can you say priority? Let your voice run like thunder. The power of priority. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. The power of priority. Matthew 6, 33. Are we there? Okay, say wait for me if you are not there. Okay, we shall wait. Matthew 6:33. Are we there now? Okay, this is Jesus speaking. Say, but seek ye first. Did he say second? Third? Fourth? Fifth? Seek ye what? First. The kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. He's talking about priority. God is a God of priority. Now in Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah 28 verse 10. Isaiah 28 verse 10. This is a very strong key if you must climb the ladder of greatness. If your name must be written amongst the great, this is a key you must never put aside. Isaiah 28 verse 10. Are we there? Say, for precept must be upon precept. Precept upon precept. Line upon line. Line upon line. Here a little and there a little. That is, there must be order in your life. In whatever you are doing. Stage by stage, step by step. You don't jump at the same time with two legs. Step by step. The Yorubas have a proverb. They say that if you chase two rats, at the same time you catch none, because you had divided interest. You chase one rat at a time, line upon line, step upon step. About 1989, I was invited to a university campus to give a lecture. The lecture, they gave me a topic, but I changed the topic. The topic was power your way into success. That was the topic. But when I got there, I said, good morning, students. I said, good morning, sir. I said, our topic is how to waste your life. Those who were not sitting well before sat properly. I said, how to, if you want to waste your life, let me tell you how to do it well. Right? If somebody wants to die now, there are different methods of dying. You can decide to jump into the lagoon. You can see an oncoming vehicle and jump there. You can drink acid. You can put a rope on the roof and put it on your neck. If you see somebody who is writing a note, I am about to kill myself now. He's not ready to die yet. When he's ready to die, who will inform anybody? Shout hallelujah. So Anna began to talk to them and said, do you want to waste your life? They said, no, but let me tell you how to waste it in case you want to. Say, so, number one, refuse to know God. When they talk about God, say, no, I don't want to hear anything about God. Refuse to know God though, if you want to waste your life. But if you don't want to waste it, know God. Because if you don't know God, you don't know anything. You could know science. You could know Bible knowledge. You could know sociology. You could be the most clever psychologist in your class. You could be top of your class. But if you don't know God, you really have not known anything. So, but if you want to waste your life, refuse to know God. That was key number one. Key number two. Said, if you want to waste your life, decide to continue the failure of your father's house. Since your parents did not make it, decide that you too will not make it. If you want to waste your life. I said, number three, if you want to waste your life, just be afraid to tackle your weaknesses. Just pamper yourself. Don't tackle your weaknesses at all. That way, when you don't tackle your weaknesses and you don't tackle the weak areas of your life, you will pass through life virtually unknown. Four, I said, if you want to waste your life, spend the whole of your days in this campus running after boys and girls. If you want to waste it, that's how to do it. Just don't go to lecture room. No, that's not a place to go. Just run after the girls, run after the boys. And at any small excuse, pull off your skirt. If you want to waste your life. I met, when I was in the campus here, University of Lagos, there was a woman here. I know the woman very well. Because she has Ondo mark on the face. And my mom is from Ondo, so I can't mistake Ondo mark. So that was when I was a student many years ago. And I went for a crusade in America. And we wanted to use the toilet at a supermarket. It was this woman who has 2 degrees. Was standing at the front of the toilet, said, toilet one, you go to toilet two, go to toilet three. When I saw her, I said, I know this woman now. So I walked straight to her. I said, Ekaroma. I greeted her in Yoruba. I said, good morning, ma. She looked at me and said, you wanna utilize the toilet? I said, Ekaroma. Your face under here. I said, but I know you now. I know you. You went to University of Lagos. She now ran. I ran after her. I said, come back. Why? She ran. She now entered into a toilet and locked up. And you know, the toilet is a republic. The first person inside is the president. So there's nothing I could do again. I had to turn back. But I remember in campus, I was always going from boy to boy. Now look at where it has escorted her. I said, if you want to waste your life, avoid intelligent and successful people. Go about with those who score F, F, F in every subject. That way you also will be an F expert. So you waste the life. I said, if you want to waste your life in this campus, decide that if they say a course is 3 years, you will do it for 10 years. And stay in the campus, be an old boy, a senior prefect in the campus. I said, do you want to waste your life in this campus? Then try an experiment with drugs. Start with cocaine. Then go to alcohol. Then you waste your money and your time. Say, do you want to waste your life in this campus? Say this. Don't disregard every useful advice or instruction. Don't listen to good advice. Do you want to waste your life in this campus? Decide to be lazy. Don't work hard. Just be a lazy person. Be sleeping in your room when the lectures are on. Do you want to waste your life in this campus? Join all the available cults. Join all the available cults. Then we'll see what happens when you join the available cults. We were at a campus to minister, and the cult people were waiting for me. On the first row, they were all on the first row. And one of them, a small boy, had a padlock. As I was speaking, he was shutting the padlock. I was looking at him. I was walking on the padlock. I knew that what that padlock was supposed to do was to lock my voice up. And so it was so it was using it. So after I'd finished the message, I said, Mr. Man, you can see by now that that padlock is useless here. Why don't you surrender your life to Jesus? And he did. He did. So if you want to waste your life in this campus, I said, then don't have priorities. Just or shift your priorities away. So one key to success in life, and a very solid key, is priority. Say priority. God is a God of what? Priority. What is priority? Priority is from a Latin word called prioritas, meaning first. First. What is priority? Priority means first things first. What is priority? Priority means something earlier in time or earlier in occurrence. That's priority. What is priority? Priority means something that goes forward in rank, order, or privilege. It comes first. What is priority? Priority means being given special attention. What's priority? Priority means first in order of importance or urgency. The first, when you're talking about being important, being urgent, that's the first thing. Priority is what you can leave other things and then do it. That's priority. Priority means preference, superiority, and urgency. Priority. One day when we were having a youth meeting, they invited an old man to come and talk to us, an old man of about 80. He now asked us a question. Say, boys and girls, how do you cook bush meat? Somebody said, I clean the meat. Immediately the man said, I clean the meat. The old man said, zero. Another person said, I boil water. The old man said, zero. The third person said, I will cut the animal. Before they even went further, the man said, zero. One said, okay, I will kill the animal. The old man said, zero. Then one lady stood up and said, we'll cut the spices, the onions, and this and that, and prepare. The man said, zero. So nobody was talking again. So how do you cook bush meat? How do you cook bush meat? Nobody answered. The man said, well, the first thing to do is to catch the animal. Because If you don't have the animal, there is no bush. It's in the bush. You have to go there and catch it. So that's the first thing. You want to cook bush meat? Priority number one is what? Catch the animal. A 70-year-old man arrived at the gate of hellfire. And he queried the angels at the door. I cannot enter this place. I was an elder in our church. I was this, I was that. The angel was looking at him. He said, but why? You have no right to put me there because I'm a child of God. The angel was looking at him. So okay, if you say I have to go to hellfire, then what have I done? The angel said, priority failure. Priority failure? He said, what do you mean priority failure? Like in a computer screen, the analysis of his life came out. The man died at the age of 70. He saw the analysis. Sleep. He slept for 23 years. Work. He worked for 16 years. Television watching, 8 years. Eating, 6 years. Traveling, 6 years. Leisure, entertainment, and holiday, 4.5 years. Sickness, illness, 4 years. Dressing up, 2 years. Going to church, 6 months. That was his analysis. He now understood why the angel said priority failure. Your priority determines your destination. It also determines your destiny. Many of us young people, we need to learn the practice of what we call selected action. At least you don't take every action. There are some actions you select to take. We must learn the practice of selected neglect. Certain things you just neglect it. You must learn the practice of what you call stubborn focus. Just focus on something and you refuse to take your gaze away from it. We need to pray seriously as young people against power that scatters effort. A person works hard, you study hard, you do things, you work hard, but nothing comes up. We need to pray against powers that destroys direction. Somebody is supposed to go this way, he goes another way. Somebody is supposed to stay somewhere to study, he goes another place to study, and they confuse his life. We need to pray against powers that do the wrong things before you now come to the right one. And by the time you come to the right one, you're already an old man. We need to pray that serious prayers. We need to pray against the power that makes you to shine when the sun is already setting. You should pray that you want to shine when your sun is rising, not when your sun is setting. Not like that 72-year-old man that I met. It's 72-year-old man, very intelligent. I have never seen an old man like that man before in my life. Because this man had this kind of photographic memory that he will pass any course. Because if you attend a meeting with him, even at the age of 72, if there are 30 people inside the meeting and everybody is talking, and this old man is the secretary, the man will not write anything. When you are talking, we look at your face. When that one is talking, we look at his face. We look at your faces, we look at. And the meeting could run for 3 hours. After 3 hours, this man will sit down and write down verbatim what each person said. 72. But he was a pauper. In fact, he had only one shoe and one underwear at the age of 72. That's when somebody recommended Mountain of Fire and he came. He was speaking Queen's English, but he had never left Ikeja. I now sent him at the age of 72 for deliverance. It was then the secret was revealed. God showed him what went wrong. When he was born, like they do in Yoruba land, they rush to the herbalist to find out what he will become. And the native doctor said, this child that has just been born is a great child. He will be so great, he will not stay in this country. He will be controlling white men because he has a special gift. The parents said, you mean he will leave Nigeria? He said, yes. He said, what do we do so that he doesn't go? The native doctor said, "Do you still have his placenta?" They said, "Yes." They bring it. The native doctor got into a boat together with the parents. They went into the center of the lagoon and they wrapped his placenta with a stone, and with incantation they dropped it there. They said, "As stones do not float, this man will never leave this country." That was what is what the secret that was revealed at deliverance ground. So at the age of 72, he's now discovering that one. You will not shine when your sun is setting. You will shine when your sun is rising. In the name of Jesus. What's the point in becoming a millionaire when you're already using walking stick? What's the point in becoming a rich man when all you can eat is biscuit? I pray once more that you will shine when your sun is rising. You will shine. 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 In the name of Jesus. After 5 days deliverance at the prayer city, then a letter that the man wrote to Switzerland 4 years to that ago now arrived that it was supposed to come. The kind of post office that brought a letter that was put there 4 years back, I don't know. I pray that as you come here today, the Lord will rearrange your life completely. You rearrange it. In the name of Jesus. Listen, beloved. Taking first things first reduces complex problems to manageable levels. First things first. I ask you this morning, what is your top priority in life? Are you interested in changing your world? Why do you exist? What is your life all about? These are questions to ask. What are you here for? Wrong answers to these questions will lead to a crisis. The purpose of life is to live a life of purpose. Purpose of life is to live a life of purpose. Permit me for a few minutes to share with you how this principle has helped my life. Me, I'm an addict of priority. What did I say? Addict of priority. Anybody wants to move, you make a list of what you want to do and then prioritize. My priority as a young person was, number one, my God. Number two, my destiny. Number three, my career. Number four, my marriage. As a young person, that's how I organize and arrange my life. When I was in the secondary school, I had no girlfriend. In fact, to mention their name in my ears was to mention trouble. Because I knew the background from where I was coming. I'm coming from a background of chronic and acidic poverty. And when you are coming from a background of poverty and you are sleeping around, your poverty will increase. This is a serious matter. No girlfriend. Not interested. In those days, boys would go to different interhouse sports in order to earn for girls. You don't see me in those interhouse sports. I was busy reading my book. Those who were going that time to girlfriends, to parties, to do all these kind of things, when they see me now, they shake their head and say, "Daniel, you discovered yourself before we did." The other time we had a get-together. Get-together of our set in the secondary school. I was looking forward to that meeting. I was so excited. So we're going to see each other again. We're going to call ourselves the nicknames we used to call each other. They called me Omolokwa. My father was a policeman. That was my nickname. We're going to see each other again. I was looking forward to that meeting. But by the time I arrived at that meeting, I left crying. Because I found that basically all of them will see what they wear when we were in school. The only few people who had changed were those who encountered Christ. All of them, those who were running after girls when we were in school, they are now running after madams. Those who were drinking small alcohol when we were in school, they have now graduated to whiskey. They just improve in their iniquity. They just improved. So no girlfriend. By the time I was passing out of here with my first degree, I was 21 and a half or so. In those days when the men in my class were 36 years old, 37 years old, in our class, a unilag girl. But they used to call me small boy, get out of the line. By the time I was 27, I got in the PhD. At that time, 27. Because I had what? Priority. My first priority was my God. The second one, my destiny. Third one, my career. Fourth one, my marriage. I focused on my God and my studies. So, as of the time that I was going to get married, I already had a PhD in my pocket. I already had a 3-bedroom apartment. I already had a car. I had an official car apart from the one that I have my own before marriage. But these days, somebody whose mommy is selling sobo and kunu at the market to send to school instead of her to concentrate on her God, her destiny, her career, boys. Guys. Guys. My time the guys mess her up. They've messed her study up. When you see a man who comes to you and says, I want to sleep with you, what is telling you is that I want to pass my sickness into you. I want to mess up your life. I don't want to care about what will happen to any baby that comes out of this thing. I want to mess you up. If you are doing that outside marriage. This is where many people have gotten it wrong. The enemy, the devil has a department in his kingdom called the prioritizing department. It would deprioritize you, miss your priority, and begin to run after shadow when you should be running after substances. This is where many people miss it and they get into the school of official failure. As you are here today, what is your priority? When I came to this University of Lagos, my priority was to get a good degree and get out of it. Don't come to the university, you have priority number one, your first priority is boyfriend, girlfriend, marriage, then later academics, later. No. You face what you are there to do. Line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Priority. Say priority.
Priority.
Shout it loud and clear.
Priority.
When you prioritize your life, then you begin to move the way God wants you to move. The Bible says there is a time and purpose for everything underneath the earth. There's a time to get married, there's a time not to get married. There's a time to read, there's a time not to read. There's a time to die, there's a time to remain alive. There's a time and season for everything underneath the earth. I ask again this morning, what is your own priority now? I can answer the question for most of you here. Because I've been in your shoes before. Your major priority now should be your God and your destiny. That's why we always preach purpose before partner. Purpose before partner. Purpose before partner. Find out why God has brought you here before you begin to think or talk about marriage or pray about marriage. Purpose before partner. If not, you will go and marry a partner who will be a deficit to your destiny. We had a brother in our church in those days when I was a young pastor. All of a sudden one day brought one girl to me and said, Pastor, let me pray for my wife. I said, Wife, when did you get married? I said, this is the woman. I said, okay, why are you bringing her here? And I said, don't blame me, Pastor. I spoke to Sister A in our church. Sister A says no. I spoke to Sister B. Sister B says no. I spoke to Sister C. Sister C says no. I spoke to Sister D. Sister D says no. At that level, the man will have known that he needs deliverance. Yes. Yes. I've met a man in England. He has spoken to 40 girls. And all of them said no, 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 no. So now can I say, Pastor, I have demons. I know. So you will have known. So he said, since I spoke to A, B, C, D in the church and they didn't want to answer me, I went to our village. And village, is full of giants, very plenty of them. So they just did a family meeting and gave him one girl in the village. And the only qualification of that girl was that she could pound yam very well. Shout a loud hallelujah. Say priority. Shout it with thunder. The reason the sisters were saying no, 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 no to him in church was because he doesn't even have a proper place to sleep. Anyway, I said, why do you want me to pray for the girl? And I said, excuse me, sir. The first night I brought her back, we slept. And then in the middle of the night, I found that she was putting her head where my legs were. And was putting her legs where my... She was putting her two legs on the pillow. And that was not how we started. We slept. We slept with our two heads on the pillow, but she had changed. He said, I now told her, I said, hello, I know that you are from the village. In Lagos, we put our head on the pillow, not our legs. Do you understand? The lady said, yes, sir. They slept again. Within 1 hour, she was back into the same position. That's why I now brought her for prayer. I said, may I have become fire brigade? When you wanted to marry her, did you tell me? Priority. Priority. The reason many people lack priorities is because they refuse to focus. One aspect of human life on which the enemy has worked very hard is focus. Focus. Many people have no focus for their lives. No focus at all. Focus is the central point. Focus is the center of interest. Focus is something you pay close and undivided attention to. Focus is what you concentrate on. That focus is vision, purpose, and direction. That focus is the dedication to God's purpose for your life. You must decide your priority, focus. If you do not have a focus in life, you can never be a focus yourself. Because nobody follows focusless people. Like I told you before, you chase two rats, you catch none. And the more you focus, the larger, bigger, and more successful you become. You want to study, focus on it, study very well, be the best in what you are doing. And I tell you one secret. Anybody, anywhere in the world who has mastered anything and you can do that thing better than any other person, no matter which corner you are, people will come and look for you. No matter which corner you are, people will come there to look for you. If you are doing the best and you are not even in the open, your shop doesn't have to be at Allen Avenue. Sometimes it's an invitation to arm robber. Your church, your shop doesn't have to be in the prime areas. But if you are doing the correct thing, they will come there to come and look for you. Ultimately, those sisters who plate air, if a sister is very good at it, they'll be looking for her. They'll be coming to her house. She doesn't have a shop. They'll come because she's very good at it. So whatever you are doing in life, focus. Not you come to the campus, instead of focusing on your studies, getting a good degree to make your life better out of this place, you're going from one boy to the other and say, this one has disappointed me. You spend 2 months crying and getting and feeling jilted because of that. You're getting bitter and you are losing concentration from your studies. It's diversion. It's diversion. See, disappointed. I find the guy with another girl. I'm depressed. You are depressed. Who sent you to go and look for guys? Purpose before partner. You focus. Focus. That's why if you want to get married, you must first of all be spiritually matured. You must be materially matured. You must be physically matured. But if you are above 16, you are physically matured. Most people here are qualified for that. materially matured. Serious problem. Some are even still sleeping by the side of the bed in their parents' house. Others sleep on the couch in the sitting room. So when you are sleeping on your father's couch, what do you want to do with marriage? You should first of all sort out your own personal destiny. Sort out your own personal destiny. And don't be going about and say, guys love me because I am very handsome. You can be very handsome and be wretchedly poor. And that girl that is the guys who say we love you, they will go away. Because you can't look after them. Because you are wretchedly poor. Because you refuse to do things when you should do it. Nobody is called to do everything. Everybody is called to do something. So if you fail to stand for something, then you will fall for everything. This is why you must understand when we say priority. There is something you can do that nobody else can do like you. And you need to find out that thing as an original from God and do what you are supposed to do. So that your focus now becomes the door to your breakthrough. Your location is irrelevant as far as you can locate your location. That is what I'm here to tell you today. When you have that focus will keep you, it will challenge you, it will motivate you. But if you don't have a focus, you're just going about life anyhow, anywhere, then you do have a serious problem in your hand. This is where we are going today. If God is your priority, then you must love Him above everything else. If God is your priority, you must trust that God completely. If God is your priority, you must obey Him wholeheartedly. Like I said to you, the priority for practically all who are here is God, destiny, marriage. That comes later. If God is your priority, you must focus on fulfilling His purpose for your life. If God is your priority, you must listen to Him, whether it is convenient or it's not convenient. You must listen to the voice of the Almighty God. We have what we call priority thieves. Let me identify for you the priority thieves and then we'll begin to pray now. They are thieves of priority. They steal your time for priority away. And I want you to understand what they are. I'm going to run to very quickly because of our time, because I want us to spend some time in prayer. The first enemy of priority is procrastination. Procrastination means you are always waiting till the last minute. You won't do your things on time. Last minute, I will do it. After some time, I will do it. After some time, I will do it. And you continually postpone your action. You will lose priority. What is the first priority, Chief? Procrastination. After some time, I will do it. After some time, I will do deliverance. After some time, I will read this book. After some time, I will read my Bible. After some time, then you end up doing nothing. Is an enemy of priority. Second priority thief is making excuses. Make excuse. A lot of people excuse their failure. Any small thing, they are so defensive, they just give excuse. Oh, you didn't do well in this exam. It's because I was having malaria. Hey, you came late to class. It's because somebody stole my shoes. Why are you going about with these kind of boys who are smoking Indian hemp and doing all kinds of things? Say, well, nobody is good. making excuses. God will not accept excuses from anyone. Moses made 11 excuses why God should not use him. 11. God turned you down one by one. And when he made the last one, God got angry and said, "Ah." He said, the last excuse he made, he said, "I cannot talk well. I'm a stammerer." God said, "Who created your tongue? You are telling me you cannot talk." It's okay. If you say you cannot talk well, that is Aaron, your brother, coming. Let him be your voice. Let him be your voice. So Moses will speak, Aaron will be the amplifier. That is what you still see people practicing in Islam today. When you see somebody talking, another person is amplifying it. It is a tragedy that Moses made that excuse. Because Aaron that joined the journey of Moses messed up Moses. If Moses had kept quiet, Aaron would not have been needed for anything. And perhaps the failure Moses experienced will not have experienced it. The third priority thief is failure to plan. Failure to plan. Some people just take all things as they come. They don't gather facts. They don't weigh situations. They just take all things as they come. There is no plan. When you do not plan, you are preparing to fail. How many things have I told you now? What is the first priority, thief? Number two? Number three? Number four is rushing. You are in the east. Rushing. You are just in a hurry. You are just running. You want to run faster than everybody. You are running. In your rushing, you forget important things. Unfortunately, this is one spirit in Nigeria that has destroyed the nation. People rush. When you say queue up, they say no. Queuing is a British disease. You rush into the bus and rush out again. Rushing is an enemy of priority. Five, writing unnecessary letters and making useless trips. Writing unnecessary letters and making useless trips is an enemy of a priority. You waste your time writing long and useless letters to those who cannot help you. When you write, you have a purpose for writing. That is an enemy of priority. You begin to take your pen, dearest, sugar in my tea. Dearest, apple in my eye. I love you like my own soul. You are my beautiful angel with golden eyes. What can I do without you? In my dream, I see your lovely face. I like the way you talk. I like the way you walk. You take your Bible. You are writing useless materials. Right? And that gets into trouble. And now, they write that kind of letter to you, your head gets blown up. And then you get married. And the man that was writing those letters now becomes Sergeant Major in the parade ground now. Hey, where are you? Come here! Sir, I'm coming, sir. Now come on! That was the person that was writing you had the apple in my eye. He has become a sergeant major now and is backing out orders and command. Some of this, you waste time writing and making unnecessary trips. People of destiny don't leave their houses without knowing where they are going. When I get out of my house, I have in mind where I am going, and I'm going there. Alright. You know this? Well, I just want to stick it through. And so you are roaming about. You call it a stroll? You are roaming about and wasting your time. If you want to walk for exercise, fine, you can walk in your sitting room. But just roaming around the streets aimlessly, you say, yeah, taking a stroll. I just want fresh breeze. What breeze? Enemy of priority. The sixth enemy of priority is attending unprofitable meetings. Attending unprofitable meetings. Meetings where they just waste your time. You don't really know why you are gathered there. You don't know anything there. You just sit down there and they're wasting your time. They talk. This one is talking proverb, one is talking parable, and at the end of the day, we don't know anything they are saying. They say they are taking minutes of the meeting, but the minutes of the life of those who are in the meeting are running away. Unprofitable meetings. How many things have I told you now? What is number one? Two. Three. Four. Five. Six. Seven. Television and video. To many of the young people of our days, you can rewrite Psalm 23 for them. That television is my shepherd. I shall not fail to watch. For it keepeth me lazy on my bed. And it poureth dark information into my soul. Television. This is very sad. When we were very young, television only has 2 or 3 channels. And in those days, by the time it's 11 o'clock, you hear bam, 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 and they close down. Finish. Amen. In case you don't know, that was our old national anthem. Before we took the dancing reggae one. Ta 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 ta. Before we took the dancing one. Shout hallelujah. By 11 o'clock, they've shut down. But now, oh my goodness. In one of our foreign crusades, they put me in one hotel. The television there said, welcome Dr. Lukoya, because they watch your name on the screen. Welcome Dr. Lukoya. We want to inform you that our TV here has 162 channels. And those are the channels you can watch free of charge. There are some you pay for. Then there is some they call for adults. That one for adults. Oh no. That one that they call for adults. Immediately you open it. If you are a man or woman of God, you will fall sick instantly. Instantly you will fall sick. Because the first thing you are going to see is naked man, naked woman sleeping with each other right there on the screen. On the screen. So when you put on that television, ask yourself, why am I watching it? I want to watch the news. You have been watching news for years. What have you benefited? The Another time a woman came to me at the headquarters crying, Gio, please pray. They're about to kill my brother. The former King Uzziah of Nigeria was going to kill his brother. They have arrested them. They're going to charge them to court. They're going to kill my brother. Blah, 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 blah. This and that and that. She was crying. She cried. A big woman in Lagos, she was crying till her yellow complexion changed to black. She cried. So after she had finished crying, I said, madam, they will not kill him. I said, what? So I said, they will not kill him. I said, excuse me, sir. Do you read the newspapers? Do you watch television? I said, I don't have time. But what I know, that they will not kill him. She carried her handbag. I said, well, Oga. And she went out. When she got out, she told those who were waiting for her, said, that man there does not read newspapers. He doesn't watch television. What kind of person is this one? Let's go. When they did not kill the man, she came back and said, I'm dazed. When you have no priority, that's why you sit down with television, 9 o'clock, 12 midnight, your eyes are still open. You are watching. And you become a television addict. You are watching. To pray for 10 minutes, you start sleeping. To sit down and read the Bible for 1 hour, problem, you will drop off and sleep. In fact, many have converted the Bible to sleeping tablet. When they can't sleep, carry the Bible and begin to read, and very soon, they begin to sleep. Television is a great time waster. You can watch it for very important thing, but determine that I'm going to watch this thing for just number of minutes and I'm switching it off. If you ask me, the greatest witchcraft in the world is TV. The greatest witchcraft in this world is television. And for some reason, in every home, it is put in a strategic altar position. And it wastes time. Number 8. Enemy of priority is not learning to say no. Not learning to say no. Say, do you want to do this thing? No. Many sisters are in trouble because of one no they did not say many years ago. No. Something you don't want, say no. Don't say, people will complain, they will say I'm a fool, they will say I'm all work but no play. Say no. There's a power to say no. I'm the owner of my body, I say no. You want to come to the party? No. You want to drink alcohol? No. Will you like a stick of cigarette? No. Power to say no. You want to marry me? I look at you and say, God said no. So I say double no. That's the situation. Sometimes some of these are some brothers at the headquarters. I laugh at them. I say, what kind of people are these? Because God has so blessed Mountain of Fire. Number one, the Mountain of Fire does not have ugly sisters. It is when you are ugly, you need the makeup to make you up. You don't have ugly sisters. If you want thin sisters, they are here. You want fat ones, they are here. You want tall ones, I mountain of fire. So some brothers will now jump out to somewhere. And go and bring somebody who will derail what they have learned. So this kind of prayer you pray. You don't pray it here. Don't pray this prayer. And the brother knows it's the prayer that has kept him alive. Now you have gone to marry a strange woman who says, don't pray. Don't pray. And then when, because the woman says don't pray, he cannot pray, now he begins to beat her up. So when sins are not broken, I will use blow to break you up. Power to say no. Number nine, enemy of priority is your telephone. A lot of people can waste hours and hours talking and gossiping on the phone. Not only that one. Once some, you are talking to somebody, he's not listening to you. He's texting somebody. He's not listening. He's texting somebody. He's not listening. Telephone. Destroyed so many lives. Changed so many people's priority. Sometimes they flash you because of poverty. And then the person who flashed just now, when you call the person back, the person will now settle down and be talking slowly, slowly, slowly. And some are already becoming phone addicts. Addicted to the phone. Addicted to the phone. Just will stick it to their ears. Like, even some people put it on their pillow. Number 10. Reading unprofitable novels and magazines. They are enemies of priority. Priority. And that has destroyed many. Number 12. Number 11. Self-pity and worry. You're worrying yourself. You're so anxious. You're worried. You're allowing your heart to be troubled. Number 12. Indiscipline. It is discipline that develops your character. You must do what has to be done, not just what you feel like doing. Indiscipline can destroy you. Without discipline, really, there can be no deliverance. Make up your mind for how long you want to sleep, when you want to wake up. You don't just sleep anytime and wake up anytime. You must have regular times for what you are doing. Your quiet time must be regular. The time you pray must be regular. It's time to listen to music. Was very regular. These days now, some believers will buy plenty of Nollywood video. Nigerian dramatist stars will watch and watch and watch, and they have memorized the names of all the artists. Anywhere they see them, they know everything. Number 13. Trying to do everything at once. Is an enemy of priority. 14. Confusion. Getting confused. Refusing to arrange yourself in orderly fashion. All those ones, they are enemies of priority. And last but not the least, number what? Vagabond visitors. Vagabond visitor. Somebody came to your house 6 p.m. 10, he's still there. What is he saying? 12 midnight, he's still there. What's he say? He didn't allow you to pray. He didn't allow you to read your Bible. He's just sitting down there. You cannot pray. You cannot organize yourself. And you are too nice to say, please, sir, can you go away? I want to pray. Priority will keep you focused on the main thing. Can you say that? Say that again. Priority is also an insecticide against the pests of distraction. Priority. Priority will keep you in line with your destiny. Priority will prevent wasteful efforts. Priority will promote your life. Say, so how do I organize my life into priority level? Number one, you must know your God. Know your God very well, that your God is a God of priority. Number two, you must desire to be the best God can make of you. Desire to be the best God can make of you. Number three, decide to make impact with your life. Decide to make impact with your life if you want to key into the God of priority. Number four, you must work on your weaknesses and destroy them. All those weak areas of your life, work on them and destroy those weaknesses. And then last but not the least, identify your activities and prioritize them with divine wisdom. Identify your priorities, identify your activities, prioritize them with divine wisdom. And if you do all that, you'll find that the God of priority will begin to guide you. You won't be able to take a wrong step because you are now focused. And if you're in this meeting today, you've already disorganized yourself. You have to pray that the Lord will rearrange you and reschedule you so that you can do the right thing. Some people say, I'm praying and God is not talking to me. God may not be talking to you because you are placing the cart before the horse. You are doing the wrong things. You are out of order. You are out of line. So God said, this one is not serious yet. I'm not going to talk to this one about anything. And any time you are out of priority, the devil has a right to destroy what you are doing and to divert your attention. I pray that the Lord will continue to help you. And that this large, deep topic that I've shared with you in a few minutes, the Lord will use it to correct your situation. Rise up on your feet now. Rise up on your feet now. And all eyes closed. Rise up on your feet and all eyes closed. If you are here this morning and you are not born again, you have not yet surrendered your life to Jesus, I want to give you an opportunity before we start our destiny changing prayers now. Because if you have not yet surrendered your life to Jesus, you will not be able to key into the blessings of today. So if you are here, it's a man of God, I want to surrender my life to Jesus. Wherever you are, while all eyes are closed, just raise up your right hand. Raise it up very well. Don't be shy. Don't be ashamed. That's why Jesus brought you here. Raise up your right hand very well. God bless you. God bless you. Those of you raising up your right hand, take a bold step of faith. Just come quickly to me at the altar. I want to pray for you here. Come out to me at the altar here. I want to pray for you. You've taken the most important decision in life. Just bow down your head. Close your eyes. See what I'm going to say after me. Say, Father. Say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you now. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Take control of my life. Beginning from today, I say bye-bye to the devil. I enter into the kingdom of light. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I'm going to pray with you now. Father, I thank you for your children here. I pray, oh Lord, that the decision today will be permanent in their lives. That you keep them standing by your power and you continue to anoint them for great things. Today that you have surrendered your life to Jesus, every enemy of your life shall disappear. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Those of you at the front, open your eyes, look at me. You've taken the most important decision in life. And I congratulate you. Just complete our forms, give it to us. And then immediately we close. Please don't go home. Just find a way quickly here. We just want to share something with you for a few minutes. I want to take your records too so that I can be praying for you by name. God bless you. We go back to your seat now. Immediately we close. Just find a way here. God bless us as it is. Thank you, Jesus. 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 All eyes closed. And let's remain standing on our feet. Listen, if you are here this morning and you have already started to experience the kind of trouble your parents experienced, then you need to pray really hard. One thing the enemy uses to dispattern our lives is to use the power of our father's house. Everybody here, you have at least 30 ancestors. And any problem can flow into your life from the 30 ancestors. You have two parents. You have four grandparents. You have eight great grandparents. You have 16 great great grandparents. 16 plus 8, 24. 24 plus 4, 28. 28 plus 2, 30. You have at least 30 people from which problem can come into your life. Your ancestors. This is the first thing we need to deal with thoroughly now. So if you are here, you find out already what happened to your parents is already happening to you. You find that even while you were in the world, those boyfriends you have, they treated you the way your father was treating your mother. And you look at your family line, you find that in this family, it will appear as if marriage is not working. In this family, it will appear as if men are always poor. In this family, it will appear as if nobody is doing well. Hey, pray hard. Pray hard. This first prayer will bring breakthroughs to so many lives. Shout this the way I'm going to shout my horn. I want your voices to roar like thunder. Battles that defeated my parents. I am not your candidate. Amen. If you are here and you are that sister, the Holy Spirit is revealing your name, that your name is Carol. Your name is Carol. You better pray hard. Don't you see what is happening in the family? Pray hard. God wants to do something in your life before you leave this place now. If you are here too, you know that the enemy, although you are young, but the enemy has planted something in your womb. And you could remember your mother had this similar problem. Say, battles that defeated my parents. I am not your candidate. Damn! In the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and declare it. In the name that is above all names, in the name of Jesus, the power of God, move. Yes, be released from your grip today. Jesus' name we pray. Let there be silence now. There are 14 persons here. Already, the spirits that made your parents to go down is already inside of you. You are trying to control it. It's not leaving you alone. Right there where you are, the power of God will come upon you within a few seconds now. And it's possible you may not be able to stand on your feet, and that spirit will just depart from your life. Yes, that's the power of God coming upon you. That's number one. That's number two. Number three. Number four. Number five. Number six. Number seven. Number eight. Number nine. That's right. Let her go. I said, let her go. Let her go. Let her go. You cannot control her anymore. Your time is up. Number 10. Number 11. Something is happening over there. Something is happening over there. Yes. As a man here, being controlled by the second wife of your father. Just be released. Be released. Number 12. Number 13. And that's number 14. That's right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. As you pray this next prayer, listen to me very carefully. As you pray this next prayer, if for some time ago in your life, a white garment prophet prophesied on you, or he told you that you have familiar spirit, run quickly to the altar here and be on your knees. A white garment prophet told you you have familiar spirit, and maybe your parents took you there, or you went there yourself. The person, they told you that you have familiar spirit. Find a way quickly to this altar and be on your knees. Pray like a man and woman from another world. Pray with boiling anger. Pray with all your strength. Because those things that those white garment people are saying is probably true. But because they too have familiar spirits, they can see familiar spirits. So don't joke with it. Pray it out of your system. It can deprioritize your life and dispattern your destiny. Everybody will shout this loud and clear. Shout it with boiling anger. Evil dedication!
Evil dedication!
That is harassing my life! In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and begin to pray like that. Deal with the dedication. The power of God, in the name of Jesus, move, 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 move. Somebody have that sister over there. Masikayabo shentera bokola bakayaba. Riapole katanda kayabo shentera bokanda. Badda kapala katanda raba. Yes, 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 be released. Be released. Enough is enough. You cannot continue. The power of God, in the name of Jesus, move. In the name of Jesus, move. In the name of Jesus, move. You familiar spirit, I bind you, I cast you out, 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 I bind you, I cast you out. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Masikaya bo shendera bo kopola barabo sanda. Baribo kosotonde keye bo shendera bo kolaba. Somebody of that sister over there. That's right. Makasopola kaya bo shendera bo kolaba raba. The power of God, in the name of Jesus, move. In Jesus' name we pray. Something is happening at the altar here. Aha. Yes, let her go. Let her go. Let her go. Let her go. Enough is enough. Every poison that you have eaten or swallowed that they are using against you, vomit them. Vomit them. Vomit them. That poison inside your system that they're using against you, vomit them, vomit them, vomit out the poison now. That's right. That's right. Those of you at the altar here, begin to shake your head vigorously now, so that whatever is affecting your destiny will be shaken out. Shake it vigorously. That's right. The arrow of familiar spirits, out. Out, 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 out. Aha. Father, I decree that any agenda of darkness for your children at the altar here, I cancel it now in the name of Jesus. Anything that has determined that you will not move forward, I bind it. I cast it out. I bind it and cast it out. I bind it and I 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 cast it out. I bind you and I cast it out. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Before you go back to your seat, if you are here and you find that the prophet they took you to was trying to rape you, was trying to mess you up, while others go to their seat, just remain where you are because you still need to pray more for you. If you know that they try to mess you up, just come, remain on your feet there. Everybody will shout this again loud and clear and pray it with all your heart. If you are however here today, listen to me carefully, and you have seen things before that others don't see, you have seen certain things there. You say you have seen this, they say, but we can't see it. You have seen things that are invisible to others. Please run quickly to the altars and be on your knee too. You see things and say, they say, I'm seeing this, they say, we can't see it, but you have seen it. Find your way to this altar and be on your knees. Everybody will shout this again with boiling anger. Please let anger well up between you now, because any power that wants to change your destiny is your greatest enemy. Can you say this loud and clear? Arrows of shame fired against my life. Backfire in the name of Jesus. Command the arrows of shame to backfire. In Jesus' name we pray. Silence again, beloved. Silence. Silence, beloved. I have three persons here. There is this spirit of death and hell that has been pursuing you. You think you will die any moment, but right there where you are, the power of God is coming upon you, and that spirit of death and hell is coming out. The one in the brain is coming out. The one in your breast is coming out. The one in the womb is coming out. I want to wait for that to be completed. That's right. The Bible says we shall not die but live to declare the works of God. That thing they are calling constant malaria is not constant malaria. It's an attack of the enemy against your life. That power of God in the name of Jesus fall upon this person now. Let the yoke be broken now. Yes, that's the person over there. Father, I commit these your children into your holy hands. From whatever spirit is trying to confuse them, let them receive their deliverance now. Receive your deliverance. Receive your deliverance. Receive your deliverance. Receive your deliverance. In the name of Jesus. Beginning from today, the power of God will move on your behalf and put all your enemies to shame. In Jesus' name we pray. You may go back to your seat rejoicing now. The hand of God has touched you. Lay one hand upon your head now as you pray this highly prophetic prayer. Very prophetic prayer. He will call your name. Daniel Olukoya! Hear the word of the Lord! Wake up! Amen. Try and understand that prayer. So whatever area of your life that is going to sleep, it's time to wake it up. If your brain is sleeping, wake it up. If your destiny is sleeping, wake it up. Whatever good thing is sleeping, wake it up. Daniel Oluko! Hear the word of the Lord! Wake up! In the name of Jesus!